Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Basra Kofav, we begin right on top of the Mishnah B'Simonov, U'B'Meit Sarov. As we have learned yesterday, when a person sells a base kur of offer, okay, this size, base kur, that much of land. The halacha is that if he either specifies that it's going to be, you know, approximate, hein chaser, hein yeser, or even if he just says it plain, base kur offer, the Gemara concluded the other day, if you recall, that we assume it's just going to be, you know, approximated, more or less. And therefore we allow for some, you know, slight discrepancy, about a 4%, about a 24th, right? So if it turns out to be smaller than that by that amount, or larger than a base kur by that amount, so we assume, you know, the 24th is, you know, it's not significant enough, and you take it as is. This fellow actually added another phrase, b'simonov, u'b'meitzarov. I'm selling you this field, which is officially a base kur in size, b'simonov, within these markers, u'b'meitzarov, within these distinct boundaries. So, what's this fellow trying to do? He's trying to cover himself. Take it as is. It's somewhere around the base kur. It might be a bit up or down. Whatever you see within these boundaries, that's yours. So now, we allow for more leeway, for an even greater margin of error. And we say, up until a sixth, you're still okay. Turned out to be smaller by a sixth, or larger than a base kur by a sixth. Either way, the deal stands. Pachos mishtos, higiyoy. Up until a sixth, you're okay. Achtos yinake. But if it's beyond that amount, right? If it's above a shtos, you have to deduct, you have to adjust the price. Now the Rambam points out that this halacha of a shtos is not really connected to that famous halacha of a no'a that we learned back in Bava Metzia. If a person overcharges or cheats him by a sixth, then the halachas of a no'a apply. No, because by karka, by real estate, there's no halachas of a no'a, whether it's because of a gzeiras hakasav, or perhaps because some, people would be willing to spend lots of money on a piece of real, a good real estate deal. So that's where Aino comes in. Here we're not speaking about Aino. Here we're speaking about the fact is the property isn't what you have promised it to be. It's the wrong size, says Rashbam. It's a shiur d'rabbanan. Rabbanan estimated that, up until a certain point, a person, is meichel. He's okay with it. But if it, because he said b'simanov u'b'meitzarov, so he knew that it's going to be somewhere, in the vicinity, and up until a sixth, about, 18%, he's willing to take it. Past that is already, off the charts, it's already beyond the red line, and he's not going to be meichel. We have to adjust the price accordingly. So below a sixth, you're okay. Above a sixth, too far gone. What about an exact sixth? Itmar, we have a discussion. Amachlekes. Rav Huna Amar, shtus. If the difference, the discrepancy, turns out to be a sixth, exactly a sixth, it's treated like below a sixth. Kepachos mishtus. And you don't have to reckon with it. And the Rashbam explains that, grammatically in the Mishnah, he's going to learn that pachas, some take out the vav, pachas, shtus, the girsa shtus, not mishtus. In any case, what it means is that pachas mishtus is that the missing portion was less than ishtus, or even ishtus. So the Rashbam explains because pachas mishtus means that the amount that it was off was ishtus. Pachas Mishtus, the discrepancy, was Ishtus. Whether it was missing Ishtus or the property was Ishtus bigger than meant to be, then it's okay. So that works with Rav Huna's pshat that even Ishtus is reckoned like less than Ishtus, meaning your Moichel. Rav Yehuda Amar Ishtus, no, a sixth, it's already too far gone. It's too substantial of a mistake to just, you know, ignore. Ki Yosem Ishtus, even Ishtus is already considered like more, and according to Rashbam, he'll learn that Pachas Mishtus means specifically if it's less than Ishtus. Dafka Pachas Mishtus. If he gave him, you know, less than he expected, and that missing part is less than Ishtus, because if the discrepancy is exactly Ishtus, that too is too much, too far gone. Okay, so again, when the Mishnah says Pachas Mishtus, we have two ways to learn. Either it means that the discrepancy was Ishtus, and that's still okay, or Pachas Mishtus means only if it was less than Ishtus. And the one explains, Rav Huna Amar, Shtus is still okay, ke Pachas Mishtus Dami. It's treated like it would be less than Ishtus. It's negligible. Hachik Amar, the Mishnah means like this, Pachas Mishtus, Ushtus Bechlal Higiyoy. Whether it's less than Ishtus or even Ishtus, that's still okay. Yosem Ishtus Yinake. But if it's above Ishtus, so let's say it's way more up until down till Ishtus, right? Not including Ishtus, because Ishtus is okay. But if it's beyond Ishtus, right? If it's, you know, a quarter, a fifth, right? All the way down till and not including Ishtus, that's already too far gone. Yinake, he has to deduct from his price and adjust it accordingly. So according to Rav Huna, the Mishnah says, Ad Ishtus, the starting point is above Ishtus, all the way down, but Ad means until and not including Ishtus, because Ishtus on its own would be okay. Whereas Rav Yehuda Amar, no, even Ishtus is too substantial to ignore. Ishtus, ki yosem Ishtus dummy is like more than Ishtus. Hachik Amar, the Mishnah means like this. Pachas Mishtus, if the difference is less than Ishtus, okay, that's okay, you take it. Ashtus, but if you're above Ishtus, Ushtus Bechlal. So let's say you're a quarter, a fifth, all the way down to Ishtus, including Ishtus. Yinaka, you have to adjust the price accordingly because Ishtus is too important. Meisve, here comes Akash. From a Braisa. He offered him a field, a base court, b'simonov, b'meitzorov. Says the Braisa, Pich Ishtus, or Ishtus. If it was missing Ishtus, or it was Ishtus bigger, Harehu Kishuma Dayanam. We treat it like the court appraisal system. And the Rashbam brings the Gemara in. Ksubais, let's say a fellow passed away and they have to, the Bezin has to make an appraisal on the nechasim, on the assets belonging to the Yisoyimim, in order to sell them off to pay their bill. So the Bezin sets down a shuma, they make an appraisal, and let's say they error, they make a mistake. If it's a slight error, okay, it's par for the course. But if there's a significant error, let's say it's a sixth off, that's too substantial an error to just ignore. And their whole, you know, arrangement becomes nullified after redo it. So the Braisa here compares our sugya, a discrepancy in terms of a real estate deal, with the sugya and ksubis regarding an appraisal error, which is also based on the formula of a shtus. So Pichashtus, Ahisashtus, Harehu, we treat it like, similarly to the Kishum Hadayonin. He gives it, and that's why he keeps it. It's okay. Says the Gemara, so before we discuss the word Higiyah, which is a bit, you know, confusing at this point, but firstly, what's this connection? What's this correlation between us and Shum Hadayonin? As we mentioned, by Shum Hadayonin, once you hit a sixth, it's too far gone. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I have a right from here, that a sixth is already over the top. When it comes to the court appraisal system, the shtus, if they erred by a sixth, kiyosim shtus dummy. Who? It's treated like beyond the shtus, meaning it's too substantial to ignore. So apparently the same thing by us. Once you hit a sixth, it's too far gone. That's Akasha Amar Rav Huna, who says that even a sixth can be absorbed. Amluch Rav Huna, Rav Huna responds to Rabbi Yehuda Lutamech, according to Higilai Katani. How do you understand the next word of the Braisa? Because you're saying that once you hit a sixth, it cancels, or it needs to be reckoned with. But the Braisa says, Higiyah, you keep it, you ignore it. So apparently you have to relearn the Braisa. Then in fact, we're not making a direct matchup between us and Shuma Dayanan. You're right. It's a loose correlation. Ella rather, Kishuma Dayanan, but like Kishuma Dayanan. Our sugya is comparable to certain aspect, in a certain aspect to the Shuma Dayanan, but not entirely. On the one hand, they both seem to follow the shtus system, but there's a slight difference. Kishuma Dayanan the shtus, we compare it to the Shuma Dayanan regarding the shtus formula, but not entirely, because v'loy kishuma dayanan, dilu awesome, because there, once you hit a sixth, the disparity is too vast to ignore. But al mekach, you just nullify the sale, take it back, reappraise it, and redo the whole thing. V'ilu hocha yigiyoy, as opposed to our sugya, even if the base score was off by a sixth, he keeps it. And the Rashbam explains. Within this long discussion, where he talks about other things, but there is a point that he makes. He says, you know, by the Shuma Dayanim, we find that once you're off by that much, you have to be mavatal the whole sale. Whatever they sold off, they have to retake it and redo it, right? Whereas over here we say that, you know, at most you have to do is adjust the price, right? You don't have to, redo the whole, the sale is still valid, right? So he says, you know why? Because by the Shuma Dayanim, once there is a mistake, you know, the process was mistaken, so you have to. But over here, really, the buyer and seller are both interested in this deal. They're not trying to get out of the deal. He wants his property. He wants to sell it. It's just that if it was not a fair deal, meaning the size was that much off, they have to adjust the price. But of course, the sale, the mekach, is still kayim. Okay. So again, he told them a base kur b'simanov ubimetzarav. You have up until a sixth to play with. What about a six itself? We have a machlekes. Rav Papa of an Aram Ogat. Rav Papa purchased this land from this fellow. And Rav Papa apparently was somewhat familiar with his property and the size of the property. And he knew it was 15 sa'ah. Amarle, it turns out that the seller misrepresented the size of his property. Havya Esrin, it's really 20 gravy sa'ah, mishchei its size. See, he misrepresented his property. Instead of presenting it as a 15 sa'ah property, he alleged it to be 20. Well, Havoi, Alacha Misra, turns out only to be 15. Asal Kamei Abaye. So Rapapa came to complain to Abaye. Look, this fellow misled me. Amar Leis, so Abaye tells him, what do you mean? You were aware. You knew how big it was. Savras v'kabilas. You willingly accepted this property. Right? So we disregard what the seller told you. You knew it was 15. Ask the Gemara of Atanan. Pachas mishtus higiyoy. Ashtus yinaka. Says Rav Papa, what do you mean? The Mishnah says a minor discrepancy, fine, but once you hit a substantial deviation, a shtus, or in this case, it's even more. It's 15 instead of 20. I mean, they're talking about a 25%. So, Yonaka, we have to adjust the price. I have a right to renegotiate the deal. Responds Abayi, that only applies when a person is not familiar with the particulars of the property. So then he was misled, has a right to renegotiate. But in this case, a person is familiar. He knows the size. Like in your case, you knew. Savari Kabul, we say, you willingly accepted it, and therefore you can't come back and renegotiate. Says Rav Papa, but he told me it's 20. So what do you mean to say? Says Rashbam, I figured either he'll supplement it with another piece of property to get me to the 20, or he meant to say that, you know, if it won't be 20, I'll deduct from the price. That's what I figured he was. So I have a right to renegotiate. Amar lei, so Abaye says to Rapapa, no, Tadifa Ke'esrin. Perhaps what he meant to say was, you know, this field is so lush and so, you know, productive that in terms of quality, it compares to a 20 sa'a property. He didn't, intend to mislead you. So once again, you knew it was 15, and you should have, should have questioned him at the time. Now it's too late. You purchased the property, and the fact that he cited the number 20, perhaps it was a reference to quality. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Yomer. We have a braisa as follows. So we have, let's say, 10 brothers dividing a Yerusha, okay, and they marked up 10, parts in the property. They allocated, you know, it's going to be 10 different fields to 10 different brothers, and they're going to use the lottery system to allocate, you know, which property goes to whom. And they started the process. They picked out one lottery, and they, you know, discovered that, you know, property A belongs to Yankel. Once they applied one girl to identify one property for one brother, kanu kulam. What happens now? They're all committed, which means to say they're all locked out of that property. So although the process was not yet finished, was not yet completed, they're only holding up one of ten, but what he got is his. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? My time, why? And the Rashbam explains as follows. My time, he didn't do a chazaka. What's a girl? A girl doesn't, it's not an end all. It's just an identifier. It's a temporary identifier. Now, of course, says Rashbam, if had they have completed the entire girl system and allocated all 10 properties through the girl, of course. It's now been verified that, you know, each respective property belongs to this particular brother. Because remember, initially, they all had joint ownership in the entire area. It's just a question of allocating and sort of backing away from the rest. So as soon as each one backs off into his corner, so to speak, it reverts to their personal ownership. And of course, they don't need to make an additional kinyan of chazak. Problem is that in this case, they only barely started the system. They barely made one girl out of 10. So at this point, unless he makes a chazak, a physical masa to be kaina, who says it's his at this point? They can still back out and renegotiate the whole allocation system. Amar Beleza, you know why? Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael, we compare it to we learn from the way they allocated the territories way back in the time of Yeshua with Elazar HaKoyin, with the Urim V'Tumim, right? That was the Gemara later in Yeshneichlin through Ruach HaKoydesh, right? So they used the Gerol system. Ma tchila begeril, just like initially, it was done through a geril and it works. Afkan begeril here as well. When you allocate properties, geril is a powerful means of allocation. It's, you know, destined from Shemayim, and you can't really, you know, challenge it. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? But you're comparing it to the initial distribution of Eretz Yisrael. It was much more than just a simple lottery. It involved Ruach HaKodesh with the Urim V'Tumim, Malahal, Imalahalan, Kalfi had a lottery, had a container. Kalfi is a reference to the lottery, you know, bucket. The Urim V'Tumim. But we also use the Choshen, the Urim V'Tumim, the Shem of Hashem, the Shem of Mefarish that was inside the folds of the Choshen. Talking about, you know, a very lofty process. Afkan, Bekalfi, Urim, Betumim, here as well. If you want it to be effective, you need all the different elements to make it work. And of course, they didn't have it, right? So how does it work? Amar Ashi, I'll tell you why. There's a common consensus amongst the brothers. Look, they're looking to make this happen rather than sitting all together on the same property and having it neglected. They want each to have his own property. Each one wants to go his own separate way. But who are not? Because of the hana, the kotzaisi ladadi, that they're all agreeing and cooperative to proceed with this process. That creates a firm commitment that as soon as we identify this to be yours, it's yours, and we all agree, and it's done. Gamri, umaknu, ladadi. It's a full and complete acquisition. They're makna, they give it away, they grant it wholeheartedly, no questions asked. Because after all, this idea of Gemiras Das forms, you know, the foundation, the basis for all kinyanim we find in the Torah. Mishicha Hagbah, it's all about asserting ownership. It's all about commitment. Gemiras Das. So, here as well, it works based on this idea that there's a consensus to make it work. Itmar, let's move on to another Shaila. Shnei Achim, you have two brothers who thought they were the only two brothers inheriting their father's properties. He left over six properties, okay? And Chalk, Shechalku, they divided three and three. And suddenly one bright morning, there's a visitor who shows up. I'm a brother too, don't you know? Ubolahan Ach, Dinasayam, perhaps from a different wife. He shows up from, you know, out of town, claiming to be a brother, and he confirmed his identity. Now, he deserves a third of the inheritance. What happens? Do we just cancel everything and start over? Or can each brother maintain what he has? Just, you know, share a bit with this new newcomer. Give him, you know, one property each. So each one will end up with two properties in total. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes. No, we cancel the whole allocation. Perhaps the third brother would like one of your property. No, you can't just give him what you have to redo the whole thing. Start from scratch. Because whenever you take possession, something doesn't really belong to you, or something which was erroneously allocated in this manner, you redo the entire thing. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees. Why bother? Mekamtzim. Just give him a piece. So Reuben and Shimon, each one had taken three. One more than they deserved. So each one gives him one, two per brother. Mekamtzim is like kmitza, like a little scoop. Meaning, you scoop a bit and give it to him. You don't have to redo the whole thing. You could still maintain and keep what you did. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman. I have a question. L'Rav. The Omar about the Machlekes, he says, once it's been discovered that there's a missing element, you redo the whole thing. Alma Hadardin, apparently, when there's a problem, you redo everything. So you cancel the whole process and retract it. Elam Yat, if that's the case, what about three partners, not brothers, three partners in a corporation? Okay, Hani Beit Lasa, the Kaimi, they have this company running, and they decided one day, okay, we had enough, we want to divide, we want to dissolve the corporation. And only two of these partners were present, the third one was not here. So what did they do? They went to the court, to the Bezdin. Vazal by trade minayim, two of the three went along to the Bezdin and got the court to do a formal, you know, division to divide it amongst three. They made three parts, right? One for you, one for me, and the third one we keep until the, you know, for the third partner when he comes. Upaluk. And then the third fellow shows up. And he has all kinds of complaints about the process that happened, and he says, "What do you mean? Let's start fresh. I'm here now. Let's make a new division." So, according to Rav, are we going to suggest that we cancel this whole formal, you know, allocation process and division process authorized by the Beis Din? Of course not. So, why do you suggest that by the brothers we have to redo the whole thing? Well, says the Gemara, you can't compare the two cases. How do you compare? Hasam in the partnership. Initially, they were full and well aware that there was a third partner involved. So when they came to the Bezdin, they made that three-way division, it was done with that in mind. So you're not really, there's no news involved. There's no new surprise element involved. We divide it into three, here's your part. The two brothers who discovered a third brother, the initial distribution allocation process was faulty, was erroneous. Initially, they didn't have three people in mind, so therefore, we never know how it was done. We have to redo the whole thing. Here comes Akasha, according to Shmuel. Shmuel Damar Mekamtzim, he says that when one took possession of property or material that really rightfully belongs to him, but it's been discovered that it was the wrong amount. I took too much because the third brother really deserves part of it. Or conversely, let's say, the Rosh Hashanah says, let's say, I took too little, but I deserve the material, but I'm still meant to take more. The Amar Mekamtzim, and he says, we just, you know, readjust it. We don't have to redo the whole thing. Whatever you have, just, you know, adjust it accordingly. Remember the Kamdina, do you mean to say that the Din, the process stands, right? We don't have to, right? Question is, V'Rav Shmuel, this is a halacha that we discussed a couple of times already. Rav Shmuel both tell us, Amrit Havayu, Kur B'Shloi Shemani Meichalach. The grain seller offers him a truckload of wheat, a kur, for $30. It's one single, indivisible deal, which means to say, Yochel Lachzer Boi Afilu B'So Achron. Even if part of the material was delivered, he can change, he can retract, he can up the price, he can, right? Until he takes delivery of the last and final, so the last sack. Because until that happens, it's no deal, right? It's not over until it's over. It's one deal. But if he said, Kur B'Shloishim, so B'Selani Mechalach, he says, first, it's going to be a Kur B'Shloishim, wholesale deal, truckload for 30. Then he specifies, a so per sella, one for one. So in this case, we treat each sack as a separate individual deal, right? So B'Selani Mechalach, Risha Rishan Kana. So as soon as he takes, you know, delivery of the first sack, the next sack, the next sack. He's kind of what he has because each one's a separate sale. But let's go back to the first case. It was a wholesale deal. Kur B'Shloishim. halacha is, even if he took partial delivery, and it's material that he deserves. He's a purchaser. He has a right to take this material. We say, no, until you take full delivery, until you take delivery of the full amount, right? It doesn't, partial delivery doesn't work. Until the process is completed properly, we don't view it as a finished deal. How does that work with Shmuel? How is that going to be consistent with Shmuel's halacha? That when the brothers took too much and the third brother showed up, we canceled the whole thing. Why? The property really belonged to, they have a right to take that property. Maybe it turned out to be a little too much than they deserve. But ultimately the property is rightfully theirs. So all we need to do is adjust it, not cancel it. All right, that was Shmuel's halacha. And here we say no. Even though the wheat is rightfully your buyer, until you get the right amount, so you get the amount right, right? No deal. That's a kash. Answers the Gemara, big difference. Hasam, when it comes to Mekach or Memkar, right? The wheat purchase, Avad Rabbanan Milsa, the Nichalel Meicher, the Nichalel Kech. Rabbanan apply a system which is agreeable, which is beneficial to all involved. It's mutually beneficial to the seller, who still has a right to up the price until the deal was done, until the full delivery was done. The Lekech, the buyer, has a right to back out if he finds a better deal elsewhere. So they're both happy. They're both pleased that the deal is still pending until it's fully complete. As opposed to, land partners, says Rashbam, they're looking to separate, looking to go their own separate ways, because he says, he brings the Gemara, Kedera de Shutfi. A pot, a food that's jointly owned by two people, is never going to be loy chamim of a lekri, never going to be properly heated or properly cooled. It's going to be always, right? Too many hats, too many cooks spoil the soup. So we don't want to be stuck together with this property. They're looking to separate. So as soon as you took your part, I took my part, we're done. And although it turned out that, some new element surfaced, which requires some, adjustment, but it does not nullify the process. We'll do an adjustment and keep it otherwise the way it is. Okay, let's start again. We had a Mishnah, B'Semarav Meitzorav, which indicates a greater, which allows for a greater allowance of, approximation. Up until a sixth discrepancy is acceptable, beyond that is a problem. A sixth itself is a machlokes. Well, that's only if he was unaware, according to in the case of Rav Papa, if he was aware that in fact this property was smaller than expected, then he can't complain. We have brothers who divided with a girl, right? And as soon as we start the process, one property has been identified, it's binding. It's based on the fact that it's done by mutual consensus, and the Goymer Makna. We have Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. When a third brother showed up, do we cancel the whole Machlek, the whole Chalukah? That's Rav Shita. And different, it's different than the case of the Shutfin, because there they knew about the third partner and they, reserved a portion for him, and therefore there's no reason to undo the whole thing. Whereas Shmuel says, there's no reason to undo the whole thing at all, even by the brothers. Just give him what he deserves. And it's different than Mekach HaMemka, where the Rabbanan understood that the buyer and seller are both pleased with the fact that they can be chaser and retract and whatever until the completion of the delivery. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.